Nobody stop that, because that's death. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said, praise the Lord. Oh, death, mm-hmm. where thou stand? Oh, grave, where's your victory? See, when you die in Jesus, you're going to be with Jesus. One thing about when you see when you die in sin, y'all help me now. When you die in sin, saints, ladies and gentlemen, it's too many hypocrites in the church. Uh-huh. It's too many people playing church. Amen. The Bible said they draw nigh me with their mouth, had to pray me with their lips, but their heart is far. They're going through the motion, they performing, they putting on a show, but their heart not right. They got one thing about a sinner know you if you real or not. Amen. You can't fool folks. They know you ain't real. Women up there directing the choir with tight pants on. Look like they going to bust out them. Jesus. Hallelujah. The blouse so tight. Look like the breath going to bust out. Good God. In the church, there is no respect of the house of God in the church. Amen. You ought to have some kind of respect have for the house of God. Yes, if you. God. But the black train still coming. Yes, y'all can talk about Amen. Me. Y'all can talk about my wife. But the black train still coming. You can say what you want to. I know you're going to dress like you want to dress. Don't care what me and my wife say. I know you're going to do what you want to do. But there's a plague called hell. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord. There's a plague called hell. And Lord knows self without measure. Amen. There's a plague called hell where you're going to spend eternity. And when judgment comes, and when you stand before the judge, the Bible said death and hell going to be plucked it up. Ain't that something? You mean tell me after I went to hell and born, I got to go to another place, wasn't that? That's true. Amen. You're going to stand before Jesus, and then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Can you picture a great big lake full of fire, just burning and burning and burning? Yeah. No, you can't burn up because it's your soul burning, not your body. Your body going back to the dust. God don't want your body. The Bible said flesh and blood shall not enter in. Amen. Your soul going to burn. Amen. Your soul going to burn. Lord. The black train coming. It's the only way now. Amen. Somebody going to die before I leave this studio. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody going to die for Wednesday. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody going to die for the month. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But when you die, you don't have to spend eternity in hell. You can be saved. According to the scripture, you can repent of your sins. Get baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, I know they're fighting. Oh, I know the devil got these apostolic preachers scared. They got them scared. They won't teach Jesus nothing more. They done tucked down. They won't preach Jesus only like they used to. They done tucked down, but the black train still coming. And the Bible said, if judgment begin at the house, judgment going to begin at the house of God. The black train coming.
Black train coming.
Hallelujah. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for you, baby.
Thank God for you, too.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for being saved, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, evident, speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Learn how to live this holy and sanctified life.
Yes.
I love Jesus, and I won't take it back. We love y'all, and we crying out for your soul. Come on, get saved.
Come on, get saved.
It's a good life. I'm happy. I'm enjoying Jesus every day.
Come on, get saved.
God bless you in Jesus.
Come on, get saved. When the black train come, Amen. Let the black train come. Amen. Say, come on, train. I know I'm going to die. I'm going to be ready. Will you be ready?
Hey, hallelujah.
Will you be ready?
Hey, hallelujah.
And you preacher, quit lying and telling these folk they can't be perfect. Perfect means blameless.
Amen.
Perfect means complete.
Yes, Lord.
Perfect means, that's all perfect means. Quit lying, talking about ain't nobody perfect. You said that because you in sin.
Amen.
These old half-living, whole-mongers, hallelujah, whole preachers are shame. But the black train coming.
Yes,
you got a shame to be saved, too.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. One thing about the Lord Jesus, he fire. The Lord is fire.
Amen.
He just, he loves us. He cares. He long-suffering us.
Yes,
all you got to do, come on through the Bible,
Lord.
Repent of your sins.
Amen.
Get baptized in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
I love y'all. Praise the Lord. God bless y'all.
Jesus,
the black train coming.
Yes,
the black train coming. The black train coming. The black train coming. God bless y'all. The black, hallelujah. Get ready for the train.
Amen.
It's all coming. Get ready for the train.
Amen.
It's all coming.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
You've been listening to God's Spoken Word with Prophet Johnson Lee Simpson Jr. and Sister Luella Simpson, Trailblazers for Jesus. You can correspond with them at P.O. Box 8321, Alexandria, Louisiana 71301, or phone them at 919-394-8262. Be sure to join us next time for God's Spoken Word.
This is KAYT, Gina. Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Brothers and my sisters, Paul here sits in a Roman jail, and Paul is writing a letter to the church at Colossae. He writes this letter. History tells us that he writes this letter between the time frame of 60 and 63 AD. The church at Colossae, of course, was located in what they call the Upper Lycus Valley. It was known for its textile. It was known for the dyes and things that it had. There were two other cities that were close to Colossae that were a lot larger. You have heard of them. One was the Laodicea, and the other one was Hierapolis. Those two cities were a lot larger than Colossae. But the church at Colossae stood out because of the love that that church had for God and the faith that it had in Jesus Christ. This church truly understood the fact that Jesus was its only hope. Amen. That church understood that. And if we could get the church of today to understand that God, that Jesus Christ is in fact our only hope, I believe that the church, praise God, would be much, much more flourishing. Amen. Because I find today that we have people who put their trust into a whole lot of other things other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say, how do you know that? I know that because all you got to do is look around. Just look around. We got people who used to be in the mainline church today. Some of them are falling off, and they're going follow behind. They're going home to follow behind Mohammedism. They're saying that Mohammed has a better way. Praise God. There are some who are following Buddha. They're saying that Buddha has a better way. Some of them are following secular humanists. They're saying the secular humanist is a better way. But what I'm trying to tell us today, praise God, that Jesus is, in fact, our only hope. How can I say that Jesus is our only hope? Because if it had not been for what Jesus did for us, praise God, we would not be here today. Amen. I like to challenge some of those folks who talk about Muhammad and those that talk about Buddha and those who put their trust in secular humanists. In other words, you know what the secular humanists say. They say that you are your own. They don't even believe in any God. They say that you are your own God. In other words, they take the small g that the Bible talks about those folks who hold up gods, and they try to capitalize that. I'm glad that I'm not my own God. Golly. Aren't you glad? I tell people all the time, I need a God that's going to dust me off. I don't need a God that I got to dust off. The last time I've seen those Buddhas, man, those things collect dust, and I got to dust it off when I was a young kid. I'm sort of telling you something about the background that I came up in. My grandmother, although she was a Christian, but she used to have all of those things around the house. And of course, us kids had to get out there and clean them off. I had to dust that Buddha off, that statue off. I don't need a God that I need to dust off. I need a God that's going to dust me off when I step out of line. Praise God. So this Jesus that we serve, he is in fact our only hope. He is the person that we are to put all of our trust in. Amen. How can I say it? Because when I look at that word hope, you all have heard me say that. What is hope? Hope is nothing but faith projected in the future. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor, hope is only your faith projected in the future. How can I say that? Because there are some folks in here standing today that are hoping for a whole lot of things. There's some people hoping for a brand new job. Amen. How many of y'all that are hoping for another job? Amen. Come on. They don't want to admit it. Amen. There's some people that's hoping for a whole lot of money. Is there anybody here that's hoping they had a whole lot of money? I see a few hands there. Amen. Praise God. A whole lot of people, they're hoping for a whole lot of money. There's a lot of people that hope for money. Praise God. And then when they get it, they don't know what to do with it. Oh, Lord, I don't want to open that Pandora's box. There's some people that hope for a larger house. God has blessed them with a house. And they say, man, I wish I had one just a little bit bigger. You know what I always tell people, when you get a house a little bit bigger, it just gives you an opportunity to bring a little bit more junk in there. Praise God. And then you can have a few more garage sales and get rid of some of the junk that you have. I tell people that all the time. Come over to a 180 Foxfire Lane because I'm about ready to have a big junk yard sale. I'm serious about it because we buy a lot of stuff that we don't necessarily need. But we hope for that kind of stuff. Some people hope for a mate. They hope to have a relationship, praise God, that's going to be good in their life. So I believe that we have that hope is nothing but your faith projected towards the future. But you know what? The best hope that we can have is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, praise God. And he said that what? And all other things will be added unto you. Praise God. So if you want to have something to hope for, let's hope for Christ. Amen. And he said, if you seek him first, he'll add all his other stuff to you. If you want a big house, he'll give it to you. If you want to have a mate, he'll give you one. Praise God. If you want to have another job, he'll give you another job. Praise God. I'm talking about one that will, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, he'll give that to you. Praise God. You know, Jesus is our only hope. And that claim that Jesus is our only hope, that's a bold claim because it eliminates all other claims of hope. Amen. It eliminates them. You see, I don't care what somebody put on. They can put on a bow tie, dress up in a black suit, come around selling peanuts. I don't care what they do. Praise God. They are not going to move me from the fact that the God that I serve, who has already done so many marvelous things in my life, that I'm going to move away from that. Praise God. Not only that hope is a bold claim, it's also a tireless claim. You know why? Because it has been around for many, 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 many years. Amen. And so when we start talking about him being our only hope, let me just give you three things and we're gonna get out of here. First of all, Jesus is our only hope for salvation. Turn to your neighbor, say that, neighbor, there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. Paul, put Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 on that marquee. Look at what the writer here says. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. So Jesus Christ, he is in fact our hope. He is our only hope for salvation. Amen. Amen. He is the only hope for salvation. You see, Jesus is the only hope for salvation. He's the only hope because he's the only hope for salvation that is desperately needed. Amen. In the world today, it's needed. It's needed. I teach in the public school system. And let me tell you something. Praise God. If there was never a time in the world for salvation, oh Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, we are in a time right now. We need to introduce a lot of young people to this man that we call Jesus Christ. Amen. I grew up, and I may be dating myself, but I grew up in a time when people respected their elders, when they respected people of God, when they respected adults. Man, we live in a world. How many school teachers we have out there? I know my brother Boo, and I said, man, kids today will say anything in front of anybody. They don't care, and it doesn't faze them. So there is we're talking about he's the only hope of salvation because it is desperately needed today. All you have to do is look around the world. We just had another shooting in another church. Come on. I'm talking about things that were never thought of. The only answer to that is going to be Jesus Christ because he's, in fact, he's our only hope. Praise God. Not only that, there's a lot of people who think that they can hope in themselves. They throw themselves out there. As one, I got to put this one up there. Put Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. I want you to read this, Scott. I want you to think that this is in my Bible. Look what Jeremiah says about the heart of man. See, that's why I can't look at myself and say I'm so good. Because what the Bible says, it says the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? I'm talking about the same heart that could stand up here and preach right now could be the same heart that can go out and commit murder. It's desperately wicked. And the only thing that's going to do the heart of a desperately wicked person any good is a man by the name of Jesus Christ. He is, in fact, our only hope. Not only he is our only hope for salvation that's desperately needed, but he is the only hope for salvation that is divinely provided. How can I say that? Oh, y'all know that simple scripture that everybody in the world knows. Everybody quoted. John 3:16 say that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son. It was divinely provided. His son was provided for our salvation. Praise God. If we look in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Luke, as he writes that, and of course y'all know that after the jailhouse rock, praise God, that the chains fell off of the prisoners' hands and they were all let go. They were all out. And we had a jailer who was getting ready to kill himself. Praise God. And Paul grabbed him and said, don't do yourself any harm whatsoever. We're all here. Look, none of us have escaped. Not one of us have gotten out. And when the thing was all said and done, this jailer, looking at the behavior of those folks who have been under the influence of Jesus Christ, asked one simple question. He said, what must I do to be saved? Didn't tell him to go read this. Didn't tell him to go do this. Didn't tell him to go that. The only thing, if you look at, put Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 on that board. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Look what they told him. And it said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the only person, praise God, that could have saved them. Praise God, that could have saved them. You see, Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is our salvation. It is not faith in some person's faith. Amen. I can't get to heaven based upon my mother's faith. I can't get to heaven based on my father's faith. Praise God. I got to have my own faith, and that faith's got to be in Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's not in any religious principles, not any religious denomination. Praise God. It's not in any other cultural outward symbol, or not even on any good life of me trying to live a good life. Praise God. Because the Bible already told me, I believe that Romans 6:23 said that all have sinned. I believe that's what it is. He said that all have sinned. It's either 6:23 or 3:23, one or the other. Praise God. Say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that let me know that that takes all of my goodness out of the equation. Isaiah have already told us that our goodness is nothing what? But a bunch of filthy rags. Praise God. So Jesus Christ is, in fact, our only hope. And praise God, and he's also our only hope for salvation that is going to be personally received, because each and every last one of us have to receive him as personal Savior. Amen. It's something that we have to do. Mama can't do it for us. Father can't do it for us. It's something that we have to do. We have to be the one to accept him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last time I look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? The heart, man believeth unto his righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have to be the ones. We got to be the ones that would confess this Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is our only hope. He is our only hope. He's our only hope for salvation. But secondly, he's our only hope, amen, for our life's needs. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, amen. Oh neighbor, amen. If there's anything that you need in life, Christ can provide it. Now, you got to remember, I said need. I didn't say nothing about no greed. I didn't say nothing about no want. I didn't say nothing about no desire. Praise God. I said that every need. Praise God. That's why Paul could stand up so boldly in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and said that, but my God shall supply. He said all. Not some of them. He said he can. He supply all of my needs. Whatever the need is, he can supply it. Praise God. That's what the word said. Amen. And so we serve a God who is our only hope for our life need. Look what verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6, let me just see if I can paraphrase. Paul spoke of the hope of the gospel which has come unto you. Praise God. And bearing what? He said bearing fruit and growing among you. You see, Jesus Christ touches lives. He touches lives now. Praise God. And when he touched a life of an unbeliever, guess what he does? He transforms that person's life. Amen. Y'all would not want to have seen me, praise God, before I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Because I was subject to tell you anything. I was subject to probably bite your head off if you said something to me. That's why my prayer for many years after I got saved, Lord, give me some patience. Colonel Bowie out there was a colonel in the United States Army. I was a colonel in the United States Marine Corps. Praise God. And in the military, we didn't have time for mediocrity. When things had to be done, they had to be done. And we used to have a little phrase, I won't say it up here, about excuses. Praise God. I see him smiling back there, so he knows exactly what I'm getting ready to say. Well, I'm not going to say it. Praise God. So I had to ask God to give me some patience. Praise God. And think what? God has given me the patience, amen, that I need, praise God, to deal with people. Amen. I got to say it. And if you're one of those people, praise God, that you short-tempered, You can't get along with nobody. You better try to pray that same prayer that I pray. Pray it in the morning, pray it at noon, and pray it in the evening. Lord, give me some patience to deal with my brothers and my sisters. Oh, I'm just telling you. And guess what? If you pray that prayer, God will give you those patience. I'm standing up here as a witness to the fact that God would in fact do that. I was talking about those secular humanists and what they believe and what they believe that the Christian faith and the need for any moral or spiritual authority outside of humanity, they don't even believe in it. No. Amen. See, those humanists, they restrict life to this earth and to only this earth. And they'll tell you, they'll say things like this: there is no such thing as afterlife. Once you are dead, you're done. Praise God. That's what they believe in. And one of the biggest lies that ever walked the face of the earth, praise God, because they, and those type of beliefs do not carry any hope at all. What can you say to a person who's just been diagnosed with a terminal disease? Praise God. If it's only life and then death, praise God, they have no hope. What do you do with a person who have lost everything that they have? You got to give them something to hope for. And guess what? I'm glad that the word of God there to give me some hope. Man, when I have lost, when I'm down to my last dime, I got to know that there's somebody that I could lean on, praise God, that's going to make things better. What if poor Job? Job lost everything that he had. Wife even told him, I want to say he lost his wife too, because the wife told him, said, man, you ought to curse God and die. You've been sitting here serving this God. You've been worshiping this God. You've been tithing to this God. You've been doing this to this God. And look what has happened. He has taken away your children. He's taken away everything that you have. Praise God. You ought to just curse him and die. I would almost say that she was a secular humanist. I may labor that. Just die and get it over with. But what did Job say? Job said, I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave here naked. But one thing I'm not going to do, I am not going to turn my back on my God. Because that's my hope. Amen. That's my hope. I look at life and I look at all the things that are going on in the world today. Praise God. If we didn't have Jesus Christ to lean on, where would we be? Hallelujah. A couple of scriptures. I got Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through verse 30. Look what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy labor, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, and I want you to learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I got to tell you, folks, that's hope. That's hope. John 10:10 says that what? The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said that I am come that they may have life. And not only that they have life, but have it more abundantly. My brothers and my sisters, that's hope. That's hope. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every time I look at that particular verse of scripture, I think about these young kids. You're getting ready to go into a classroom. I know it's EOC time right now. Everybody taking end of course exams. Praise God. When you walk into that class, you may not have studied the way you think you should have studied. You may think that you haven't even absorbed all of the information that the teachers have given to you. But when you walk in that class, I want to tell you where your hope is going to lie. Lord, I know I may not have remembered everything, but Lord, I pray that you would just bring some of those things back to my memory.